The Gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we are two generations away from most people not knowing Jesus Christ. You see, when we talk about going, when we talk about making disciples, it's not just because we don't have anything else to talk about. It's not just some random thing that we've made up. What we're really talking about is eternity for those who have yet to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. And so these first 8 weeks of the new year, we are talking about a Jesus-shaped life. Why? Because if we don't know him, if we don't live as he has called us to live, if we don't share him, how will people know? It's not something that we can just turn a blind eye to and expect somebody else to pick up the slack. These words that Joe just read at the end of Matthew's gospel are for each and every one of us, like it or not. We've talked about being image bearers. We started off the year about being image bearers. And Pastor John talked about how we're created in the image of God. Male and female, he created them. Not only do we have family resemblance, but we've also been invited into the family business to live like Jesus so others will come to know him. We've talked about how we live in relationship to God and in relationship to others, about how our relationship to God involves quiet, it involves study, it involves prayer, it involves maybe sometimes just silence. And we've talked about how we spend time with one another, those of us that already know one another, our fellowship time together and how we spend time together, how we support one another, how we encourage one another. And we spend time out in the world with those who have not yet heard, those who do not yet know the saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the thing is, those three different kinds of relationships, every single one of them takes time to develop. You and I both know if we want a relationship that will last, if we want a relationship that has value, it takes time. It takes time to be able to sit in God's presence, to sit and not finally get to a place where there's quiet and have your mind think of 80 things that you still have to do. It takes time to develop friendships. It takes time to build up capital to talk to people about Jesus. And last week, Pastor John talked about our covenant identity, who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are his most beloved sons and daughters. First and foremost, before anything else, you and I are his beloved sons and daughters. And all of those things are undergirded then by the amazing, wondrous love of God. I mean, when you think about how much God loves us, how easy it would have been after Adam and Eve sinned for God to just kind of wash his hands of them, and he booted them out of the garden, and it would have been easy to just look at the Son and the Spirit and go, "Well, that was a failed experiment, wasn't it?" It would have been easy when the flood came to just let all of his creation wash away. It would have been easy as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness and they complained over and over and over and over and over again to say to Moses, I don't care what the neighbors say, I'm done with them, they're all yours. And it would have been understandable if Jesus had gone back to the Father in prayer and said to him, these 12, are you sure? Have you seen them? But there's an underlying theme. God loves his people. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He loved Adam and Eve. He loved Noah. He loved the Israelites. And so this love that he has for them makes him continue to keep loving. But it isn't that just he wants to love us. He wants us to love him as well. And not to just love him, but to tell others about him. That was Israel's call. All those ites that they encountered here, there, and everywhere. God really wanted the Israelites to tell them about him. And Jesus discipled these 12 men, others as well, but these 12 in particular. They walked with him. They ate with him. They watched him teach. They watched him heal. They watched how he interacted with the Father. Why? So that they could do that as well. And more would come to know who God is. I mean, that's our foundation, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And not everybody knows that yet. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that there are Sundays that people sit in these pews that don't know that yet. But that's what we are called to be about. To know him, to love him, to share him with others. So let me ask you a question. Think about your life, where you are right now. What would your life look like if no one had shared Jesus with you? What would your life look like right now if no one had ever taken the time to share Jesus with you? Because the thing is, it's from our covenant identity in Jesus Christ that we come to know God's great love for us. And from that comes your obedience and mine. We obey God because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. John writes about that in 1 John chapters 3 and 4. And all of that sets us up for today. Because we have this identity in the covenant with Jesus Christ. We've been named, we've been claimed. But that comes with responsibility. Being a part of the family of God brings responsibility. Think about your own family for a minute. There's responsibilities, right? Somebody gets to take out the garbage, and somebody gets to cook, and somebody gets to clean up the mess after dinner, and somebody gets to do laundry, and somebody gets to vacuum and mow. You get the drift, right? There's responsibilities, but we're a part of the family of God. We have responsibilities too. God created each and every single one of us for a purpose. At the head of the family is Jesus. Joe read, Jesus says to the disciples, to you and to me, all authority has been given to me in heaven above, in earth below. All authority. He's got all of it. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, if I could have that. This is from Daniel chapter 7. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that will not be destroyed. That's Daniel's vision of Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus ever walked on the face of the earth. But it isn't just us that has kingdom responsibility. Truth be told, from Adam and Eve on, there was kingdom responsibility. God created them. He gave them a place to live, but he also said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, tend to it, take care of it, make sure that you tell others about me. And then came sin and separation, and they were removed from the garden, and like you and I, they continued to sin. Like you and I, things got in the way. They got busy. And God got left behind. That happens sometimes. And they didn't do such a good job of telling the neighbors about God. And while sin changed the relationship between God and God's creation, God didn't give up. He hasn't given up yet. Look at us. Look at the mess that we have in this world today. And God still loves us. He didn't give up. He set about creating a way that the chasm that sin created could be bridged. And he made a fix. He gave a covenant. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made covenants with the Israelites over and over and over. And each time a covenant was made, God's people found a way to break it, until we hear these words from Jeremiah the prophet. These are often words that you hear the first Sunday in Advent. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. That is Jesus, who is the fulfillment of that covenant. He came to show us God. We read in the book of Revelation that he's the eyewitness. He's the only one who's ever seen God. And it's in him that the covenant promise comes to be. It's in Jesus that we receive life. It's in Jesus, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that we ultimately receive power. In the covenant, we discover that God is our Father. And in the kingdom, we discover that our Father is the King of all. And as his beloved sons and daughters, you and I then are given royal authority. You and I. Because we are his sons and daughters, an inheritance, if you will, from the Father. And that authority gives us access to the power that we need to carry out the things that God has called us to do. But we have to be careful and remember that it's not our authority that we're talking about. It's his. And we do his will, his bidding, not ours. And once again, the call comes to go, be fruitful, and multiply. to be fruitful in our sharing God with others, and to multiply the number of those who know Jesus Christ and his saving grace. And we claim that by way of our faith, our trust that Jesus is who he says he is, that God will do what he has promised to do. And when we trust that he has really given us power and authority, when we submit to God, then that power will flow through us, you and me. It's Spirit-led empowerment. We're kids of the King. Do you believe that? Do you really, truly, in your heart of hearts believe that you are a beloved son or daughter of the King or Kings? And we are given power and authority to act in his name and to act on his behalf. So when I was 16 years old, I got a job in the grocery store. Mr. B's IGA was the place to shop. I got to be a dishwasher in the bakery. I had absolutely no authority whatsoever. I had responsibility. There were all those sticky pans and trays, and we had to get things ready for the bakers who came in early the next morning, but I had not one shred of authority. And when I got promoted to be a carryout, I still didn't have any authority. I had responsibility. I had the cart that I used to take groceries out because grocery carts didn't go out in the parking lot. I had my mop in my bucket, and I had a vacuum cleaner because our grocery store had carpet on the floor. That's a whole nother batch of stories. But when I got promoted to be a customer service manager, they gave me four keys. The front door, the office door, the cash drawer, and the safe. Now I had this much authority, not because of who I was, but because it was given to me. And when the day came that I got to be the manager of that store, the owner tossed me this wad of keys that weighed about 8 pounds. And he said, "It's your store. You know me. You know what I want. You run the store the best you can." He gave me authority. I could act in his name. Not in my name, but in his. And he said to me, "I'm only going to tell you one thing. You have carte blanche." If that back in the day, the sales reps all came and you could buy whatever you wanted. "If you would buy things with your money, feel free to buy them with mine. But if you wouldn't spend your money on something, please don't spend mine either." That was the authority that he gave me. Not because I deserved it. I had worked hard. But it wasn't my authority. It was his. It's the same with Jesus. It's not our authority. It's his. And we act in his name. And we do his bidding. And lest you question whether or not you have a place and a purpose, listen to these words from a Carmelite nun who lived in the 1500s in Spain. Her name was Teresa. And depending on how you pronounce things, it's either Teresa of Avila or Teresa of Avila. This is what she said. "Christ has no body on earth now but yours. He has no hands and no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good, and yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. You are his hands and his feet and his eyes." When we know who we are, and when we know who our Father is and from whence our authority comes, then we can claim that authority and we can act on that authority in the power that he has given us. And it's transforming power. It's life-changing power, not only for us, but for those that we encounter. And by that power and that authority, we can do things that we never in a million, billion, gazillion years could do on our own. So when you think about the early church and you think about the disciples, and you know, for a while we look at them and we think, wow, they really don't get it. But when they were given the power and the authority to go and to preach and to teach and to heal, they did some really amazing things, didn't they? The thing is, they weren't any different than you and I are. They weren't any different at all. But in Jesus' name, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Matthew tells us that 11 went to the mountain in Galilee. There's no name on this mountain, and a mountain in Scripture is typically the place of revelation. But it wasn't the perfect and complete 12 that went. It was 11. They were imperfect. They were fallible. They were unsure. And Matthew tells us they worshiped and some doubted. They're just like you and I. But Jesus uses the imperfect to do his bidding. He used it then. He uses it today. If we just let him, you and I can do the work and the will of the Father as well. Go, Jesus says. Make disciples, baptize, teach. That's our call. Yours and mine. We're not called to make people believe. We're not called to beat faith into people, though there are some people I would like to be able to do that to. We are called instead to sow seeds. We are called to tell the story. We are called to be faithful. We are called to develop relationships with people and to listen for the promptings that God will give us. And we do that not in our power, but in his. We do that in his authority, not ours. And it's not really so much a very comfortable call. But we are called to share the word, to live the word, to show Jesus to people, to teach and to serve, all in Jesus' name. Not our names, his name. His promise is that he will go with us. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. He promises to be with us always. And that's a thread that is run through Scripture. He didn't just leave Adam and Eve to their own devices. The Israelites who wandered, he was there in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He took up residence in the tabernacle and in the temple. And then we read today's reading, and lo, I am with you always. Matthew starts his gospel and ends his gospel with that promise. In chapter 1, verse 23, he quotes Isaiah. He says, "And behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. All the way through to lo, I am with you. They're like bookends, a reminder that he will be with us always. Our call to go is not based on who we are. It's not based on what we can do. It's based on who Jesus is and what he can and will do through us if we let him. And when we baptize, we wash people in to the love that comes from knowing God. I love the picture. We get washed in to the bonds of family love, not just the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but all the believers. We get washed into that family. Pastor John reminded us of that last week. Remember, we made the sign of the cross on our forehead and we all spoke our name at the same time? We've been named and claimed. We're his. And it's in him that we learn who God is. And it's in him that we have life and we have it abundantly. And it's in Jesus' death and resurrection that you and I have not only power, but authority to go and to share and to tell people about the love that God has for us, to share with those who do not yet know. Amen.